Okay, now let's take up havingness in general. Find out something more about it. Discovered the first time that this came forth, as mentioned, was in the Philadelphia lectures, those 64 lectures, hours of lecture. And the first publication in which this is found is the Journal of Scientology. I think there's an article in there about havingness and time. But more important than that, and the place which you will be able to locate it very easily, is Scientology 8008, the publication, available at the HASI for $2 now. Quite a while. It was quite an expensive book. But there's quite a dissertation in there about havingness. You should look it up. No sense in going into it. But time and havingness have a great deal in common. It's the first thing we should know about havingness. Time and havingness. If you could consider a space with absolutely no mass in it, you would have an eternity. And it feels like it, too. There is a pleasant feeling about a space with absolutely no mass connected with it. Now, we get, in human experience then, time as havingness. When your preclear has a problem in time, you can freely translate it in auditing as a problem in havingness. When he has a problem in havingness, you could freely translate it as a problem in time. You see, if he can't remedy his havingness easily, then he has a time problem somehow or another here. And we get various manifestations, such as going into restimulation. What is this thing called going into restimulation? It's a very simple thing. It's the individual's havingness is reduced, or he believes he does not have enough time. He has time difficulty. One thing or the other. He's just lost something, or he has a time difficulty. He's got too much to do in a unit of time. And he will, at that moment, it could be the reverse, it would be at that moment feasible for him to snap in a heavy mass of energy, such as an old fact one or an electronic or a scene of the childhood home or something of the sort. In other words, it has mass, so therefore we will pull it in. Has mass, we will pull it in. And this is restimulation, and this is an engram going into action. And this is an engram getting active on somebody. His havingness becomes reduced, and so he pulls in an old facsimile. Well, that's actually all you need to know about book one. I mean, there's book one in a statement. Swish. Something went wrong with time. Actually, what normally happens is the fellow has nothing to do or something of the sort. And time is, quote, hanging heavy on his hands, which it really should be. Time is hanging lightly on his hands. And he'll pull in a facsimile and chew on it. Well, that's the first manifestation that you see of this, daydreaming by looking over the past and so forth. He hasn't anything else to do. Life isn't sufficiently interesting, another way of saying it, and so forth. He could also be in this kind of a condition whereby he has an awful lot to accomplish and he hasn't got any time, so he pulls some time in on him. Well, how would he pull some time in on him? He pulls some havingness in on him, of course. In she'd come, crunch. Now, every once in a while, you'll get a preclear, and there are many ways to explain this. You'll get a preclear who just working beautifully, and then all of a sudden, boom, isn't working so well. And then you get him working beautifully again, and boom, isn't working so well. And you find out what's going on with this preclear. Well, this freakler keeps getting these electronics in restimulation and has all sorts of visions turning up and so forth. This freakler is pulling in facsimiles on himself because, well, he maybe doesn't have enough to do. Or he has something wrong with his time factor. This is all we could say about the thing. There's something wrong with his time factor. Reversely, there's something wrong with his havingness factor. And so you get somebody who's going into restimulation continually. Well, I audited this psycho, and I'm all in restimulation. Something wrong with his havingness, that's all. So he's pulled in facsimiles. He's become restimulated. Restimulation could be defined as a condition brought about by a reduction of havingness, which the preclear remedied by pulling facsimiles in upon himself. Now, that might be a somewhat clumsy statement, but that is exactly what has occurred. That's exactly what has occurred. You see, something happened to his mass, and to remedy it, he pulled in a facsimile. And that's restimulation. Something in the environment turns up as a restimulator. Some item in the environment appears to be threatening. It's part of the environment which he can't have. Let's say this fellow had been sick in a room which had a certain kind of lamp. And he's just doing fine in life. But one day his wife goes down to a bargain sale and comes back with exactly that lamp. Well, he kind of doesn't see it, but he knows there's... didn't like the idea of her spending all that money, so on, and he'll kind of argue around about this lamp, but he won't say much about it. And then all of a sudden he gets sick. He might not become sick with the same malady, but by stimulus response, the chances are he will. What occurs in the environment? Part of the environment is something he can't have. So that's less havingness in the environment, which he remedies, the darn fool, by pulling in a facsimile on himself. See, the environment contains such dangerous factors, in other words, factors which he himself cannot possess. The environment has so many dangerous factors in it that the only thing he can do about it is to pull in some facsimiles. He can have the facsimiles, he can't have the environment, and we have the mechanism of all aberration. Right there, that is the mechanism of aberration. Fellow can't have the environment, so he has some mock-ups. He has some facsimiles. Well, he has lost touch with the fact that he can create masses and energy, ridges and things like that. He's lost contact with this fact. But get this. The only reason he's pulling in the facsimiles is to remedy a condition which exists in the present time environment. There are a lot of things in the present time environment he can't have. And when the Thetan is in past time, interiorized into a body in present time, which is the common condition. Thetan is out of present time, but the body is maintaining contact with present time for him. He can't have a body. See, that's all. I mean, he can't have a body. The body is in present time, but he isn't. And the body will appear filmy and unreal to him. It will also appear packed full of energy masses. Now we're talking about Thetan who doesn't exteriorize. It'd be packed full of energy masses. He wouldn't even really be in contact with the body. He'd be in contact with facsimiles and energy masses which are in contact with the body. You see, he's in a relay system here. He doesn't feel his nose or the tips of his toes. What he feels is the energy which is feeling his nose. That's a different lineup. All right. His havingness, then, does not include a body. Well, so therefore, there's something wrong with present time. His havingness doesn't include a body, and the body is in present time as a restimulator, and if he's really scared of bodies, of course, he won't be able to have much of any present time at all. It starts right out there. We used to say if we could locate the restimulator in the environment, that being a technical word for any object which the individual, well, that would be any object which restimulated or excited into beingness energy masses in the individual. by duplicate. See Q&A. This restimulator might be the lamp, it might be the door, it might be the color of the walls, it might be the sidewalk, but oddly enough, it most commonly is the body. And here we were in Dianetics, trying to look for, discover, and knock out this restimulator, and there the guy sat. What was the restimulator? Himself. His body. That was the restimulator. This was the one thing which he couldn't tolerate. And there it sat. Well, obviously, if this is the condition in a rough case in Dianetics, it's certainly the condition of a rough case in exteriorization in Scientology. And that's true. If the individual has a great antipathy for his body, if he believes bodies at large are very dangerous to him, why, exteriorize out of one, why, he wouldn't admit he was in one. How could he possibly exteriorize out of one when he won't admit that he's in it? He can't admit that he's in it because it's too dangerous to him and it'd make him quite ill. It does horrible things, he'll tell you. It pulls in masses, it pulls in energy masses. Anybody who is out of present time to that degree with the body as a restimulator will continue to pull in on himself all the facsimiles in the bank. He'll just keep it up and keep it up and keep it up, regardless of the somatics, regardless of anything else. He'll just keep pulling in facsimiles on himself, on whatever excuse. And so we find people in Dianetics got stuck on the time track with Dianetics. Oh, it was the perfect mechanism that would permit you and gave you a good reason why you could pull facsimiles in on yourself. Now, this condition in Scientology is simply remedied by duplication, that is to say, mocking up masses and pulling them in on the individual. But remember that that is a suborder of remedy. The facsimile, the mock-up, are suborders to good, solid, thick, heavy, massive present time. Who would accept a facsimile which weighs perhaps a thousandth of a milligram when he could have a couple of tons of wall? Well, any preclear you're having trouble with is running on that one. He'd rather have a thousandth of a milligram of facsimile rather than 10 tons of wall. Oh, he'd much rather. Because the wall's dangerous. The facsimile isn't dangerous. He knows that. It contains an experience which he has tested to the limit. And the fact that it is in the past satisfies this condition. He has lived through it and is still surviving. Regardless of whether it's a facsimile of a death or a murder or an execution, we don't care what it is. He knows that was safe because he's still alive. Perforce, it's still alive because he's here, isn't he? And it's past. So the most rudimentary test in the world tells him that a facsimile is safe. But present time, he hasn't experienced present time fully, and he doesn't know if he's going to live through that, so it's dangerous. The little girl in the fluffy white dress, who is sitting very politely and primly in a chair, is far more dangerous as a creature, not having been experienced completely, than a facsimile containing 50 howling witches cutting him to pieces one square inch at a time, complete with somatics. So here's this little girl sitting in the chair being a very dangerous being. And the facsimile? Oh, facsimile. That's safe. He lived through that. Killed him was all it did. And he lived through that. So he'll pull that in preference. Here's a matter of mass. Well, now you could just sit down and overtly remedy this situation with the preclear until the preclear finally said, the devil with it, I don't have to have this past mass. I can have all of it I please. Why don't I explore present time slightly? Well, when he's not content that he can remedy his havingness of the past, he will keep fighting the past to get more havingness out of it. And it has only as much havingness in it as he lived into it. That's all the havingness the past has in it. Whereas the present time is wide, unlimited, tremendous quantities of havingness to be owned in it, but not predicted. The past has been predicted by definition. Present time has not been predicted. So we'd rather have that past factor. Well, supposing he gets practically everything he had in the past pulled in on him. Uh-oh. This looks like a sad and sorry situation. He's pulled everything in on him, and now there isn't any way to get any more. Because he doesn't dare live in the present and accumulate facsimiles in the present. Well, now, does he? It's too dangerous. And he's pulled in all the past on himself, and there's no more to pull in on him. Well, there you have what a Thetan would qualify as close to death as he would care to get. So obviously the answer and solution to the thing is to rehabilitate his ability to duplicate the past. That'd be the obvious solution. Show him that he can remedy his mask with the past by putting more past there. He's overlooked this fact. He can put more past there. Now, I have done this to a preclear. I've simply said, okay, start lying. The guy says, what? Start lying. About what? Well, I don't care. Start lying. I don't get you. Oh, yes, you do. Just start lying. Lie about the past. Lie about anything. Lie about what you've done. Let's go. Well, I was a streetcar conductor. Go ahead. Keep on lying. That's a funny mechanism, isn't it? Why would you start in on that tack? Well, that's because the messed universe says there is no truth but me. And if you haven't done it, it didn't happen. And that is about the most unreasonable statement that was ever made anywhere. You'll find people who are dead black and having an awful lot of trouble with havingness, hewing only to the truth. Well, how could this be? Well, they have to make sure that the facsimiles they pull in were safe. And if they imagine any, ho-ho, this is an untested and unpredicted mass, isn't it? This mock-up is unpredicted. They lied about it. They're liable to get caught. There's liable to be consequences and so forth. And you'll find out that people who are having this difficulty have a common denominator. Oddly enough, the lies they tell you, they believe to be completely true, and that's why they're telling them to you. The amount of lying which they do under processing, enduring processing, they tell you ordinarily with complete faith that they're telling you the best they can at that moment. And they call this truth. And this is what truth is. They've been educated out of lying because lying brings consequences and it'd get everybody all upset if we were all agreed that the United States of America was formed in 1776 by a bunch of upright citizens, and somebody came along and spread a long and fancy tale about the fact that there were a lot of them that weren't so upright. We almost had a public hanging when a book by the name of Oliver Wiswell by Kenneth Roberts was published. Do you know that it inferred that the Tories were human too? This was an indigestible fact. People didn't want really truth then, did they? They wanted an agreed-upon past pattern. And that is what your preclear is agreeing with and is calling truth. An agreed-upon past pattern. And he'll say, I was a good girl. I meant no harm. Everything was fine. I was good to my papa and good to my mama, and I was such a good girl. And actually, the only way I got into trouble at all was the fact that I was forced to be, and no responsibility, because we've got to have a past in agreement here. And this is their past, and they believe that past, and they will tell you this past, and that is the truth. And you say, start lying. Well, the truth of the matter is their actual past would be what sounded like an awful lie to them. They used to hold screaming fits and kick their mother in the shins, they very often would mix pepper with Papa's tobacco, and they raised the devil, and their first sexual peccadillo took place at the age of 14, And it was all on their own, completely. Well, this is the kind of an existence. It isn't that this is bad or good, you understand. This is just the difference between truth and falsehood. Truth to them is the greatest falsehood in the world, which is to say they had no responsibility for their own acts. That's truth to them. And that life at large was causation. They were causation. Every second they were living, they were causation. They weren't total causation. They were also an effect every second they were living. And as soon as, however, the fellow starts telling you that his past is total effect, all he's telling you is, I have caved in my past on me in order to remedy my havingness. And therefore, I must have been total effect if the past has caved in on me. I must have been total receipt point all the way along the line. And so your preacher sits down and he tells you this fantastic lie. That he was nothing but effect all his life? Oh no, there isn't any such thing. He was cause and effect. But if he's brought it in and remedied his havingness with it, of course, then it looks to him like he's a receipt point. So you say to him, start lying. It is a fabulous process, by the way. There are many gentler ways to do it. Many, many gentler ways to do it. You could say, now let's tell a part of the past. Let's describe some past incident. Now let's describe it with a slight variation. Now let's describe it with another variation. Now let's describe it with another variation and another variation. And this is quite workable with these people who find themselves incapable. But a brutal way to go about it is to simply say, start lying. Well, what does this do? This statement, this process. Well, it brings them up to a recognition of the fact that nobody is knocking their block off for putting something else on the past track than is there. Nothing is happening. No bad consequences occurring for their doctoring up their past track. And they cease to be stuck with that past track. Now they can have a complexity of past tracks, and if they've got an obsession about remedying their havingness by the past, well, they can at least mock up some past, can't they? And remedy their havingness with this. Well, this is a very indirect way of going about it. As a matter of fact, a slow way of going about it, although you will find that that is an effective process. Some fellow keeps telling you the truth, telling you the truth. This truth, by the way, is a pretty tarnished thing that he's handing you. It's devoid of any human understanding or anything else. But there would be another way of going about the whole thing, and that would be to simply have him take possession of some part of present time, and then on gradient scale own more and more present time, because that's remedy of havingness too, isn't it? Of course, if you have him take possession of the space of present time, well, that's a remedy is havingness on space, but he's had already just a little bit too much space. If there's anything wrong with him, it's too much space. So you just start him in by remedying the present. You could start in on this wise. You could say, all right, spot some spots in the room. You don't tell him in the space, and he certainly isn't going to look there. And he just says, well, there's all right over there and there and there and there. And you say, what are you pointing at? And all that, I'm pointing at the corner of the bulletin board and there and there and there's a spot. And you really spotting that last spot? Yeah, yeah, right there. Bottom of the light switch, and another spot, and so forth, and you'll find out they're spotting very rapidly, you know. Let's walk very gently and very lightly, and let's not fall through into anything. Because this is really awfully, and that's totally just this manifestation, this is an awfully dangerous place to be looking straight at, so I'll just go over it rapidly before it can lash back. That's the best thing to do with it, you see. In other words, my havingness is very small, so therefore I have to do it very fast. You know, I have to be very quick, zing, 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 zing about the thing because, you see, I don't have very much. There's actually not very much present time here. And so, therefore, if I go over it real rapidly like that, one, it can't lash back at me, and two, I don't have very much of it anyway. You'll find that after a while they'll get fairly comfortable about this and they'll start to slow down. Well, that's an oddity because when they start to slow down is when they're actually starting to remedy their havingness. And you will see them go slower and slower and slower and slower and practically pass out to keep up this process, and then pick it up. And this is the first time they have looked at the present time environment, is after they have slowed way down and then start to speed up again. Well, what kind of process is this? That permissive. Spot some spots, indeed. Well, it's all you do. You just have them go on spot spots, like I told you the other day. Just go on and spot some more spots, that's all. Make sure they are spotting the spots. And they'll gradually find out that the present time environment doesn't cave in on them immediately. And this is a great relief to them. Now, this is a process which is done without mock-ups. It's done without any type of covert approach or anything about the past at all. You're making the individual look at the present. Now, another more magnitudinous technique would be to have him run into the wall. And run into another wall, and run into another wall, run into another wall. Okay. Jump up and hit the floor. Or pick himself up and set himself on the floor. He'll very often get strange sensations on doing that, because you get somebody who's falling in space, he's really not on the floor anyplace. So you tell him to pick himself up and put himself on the floor. And it's very funny, but occasionally he won't even notice that he's standing on the floor in order to produce this. He'll pick himself up, actually, and put himself on the floor. But you've made him contact the floor. In other words, by gradient scale, he gets in touch with the present time environment, which in itself remedies havingness. Now, remedying havingness of the present time at a distance, which is, say, letting him get it in a mock-up sort of form, letting him close his eyes and get the idea of having that front wall and with eyes closed, having the back wall and that sort of thing, has no workability, but quite the contrary. It just doesn't have a workability for somebody who's interiorized very solidly. Because there's insufficient reality and he's perceiving it. What he's doing, he's making a facsimile at the wall and then remedying his havingness with that facsimile. And he makes another facsimile of the wall and then remedies havingness with that facsimile. And when he comes out at the other end, he has gained the same mass that he had, less the friction heat loss. Because he isn't going to create any energy. He's just using old energy to make new energy. So you take whatever means of contact he has. If he's a blind man, you have him take the tip of his cane. You know, a body is a sort of a seeing-eye dog to a preclear. And you have him use whatever he's using to see with, actually, hands and that sort of thing, to contact the environment. So he can perceive the environment and thus remedy his havingness with the present-time environment. And his havingness will remedy this. It won't remedy it on spots in space, you understand, but it will remedy it on the basis of walls and so on. Well, time is havingness. And whenever you have a jam track on a preclear, there's something wrong with his havingness. Well, let's look at a less severe condition, and let's find out that any engram, if stuck anywhere, must be stuck in present time. There is no place else to get it stuck. If it's stuck in now. Well, if any engram is stuck in now, then there's something wrong with the preclear's havingness, isn't there? It's as simple as that. Now, there's one thing you don't have to pay any attention to in the remedy of havingness, whether or not it is done with certainty. You don't care whether havingness itself, as such, in mock-up form, is done with certainty. Well, that doesn't apply to the rest of Scientology. When you want to know if he can actually view that effort, you want to know if he's certain. If he's looking at that wall, is he really sure he's looking at that wall? Is it a wall? And so forth. But in mock-up remedy of havingness, it will remedy havingness even though the mock-up is the thinnest, filmiest, unreal thing that you ever saw. Well, this is one point where we don't have to pay any attention to certainty, as on the remedy of havingness. Is he certain he had 18 duplicates out there? Is he certain he did make a perfect duplicate out of it? Is he certain? We just wouldn't care. Because we're dealing with the woof and warp of unreality when we are dealing with havingness anyhow. It's what started to make things real unreal. All right. Therefore, the mock-up can be quite unreal, and he can still remedy havingness with it. I hope you know a little bit more about this than you did. He's into the past because he can't have a present. He's going to have from something, so he has from the past instead of from the present. And as soon as he does that, he's in trouble. And that's all that's wrong with your preclear.